The Apostle Paul's final encouragement in Romans, straight ahead on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Glad you can make it today as we present our final message in Romans here on Sound Doctrine. We have that for you today and next time. As you'll hear in a moment, it's a powerful closing to this life-changing epistle. Paul is signing off and has a few things to say to his close friends. Let's lean in and hear what he has to say in the 16th chapter. Here's our teacher and pastor now with today's program, Pastor Jeff Johnson.
In your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 16 for the last time. The reason I say for the last time is I think we're going to finish the book of Romans, the epistles to those in Rome, to those of us in LA from the Apostle Paul. We're going to finish it this morning. So you talk about a long close to an epistle. Paul's going in conclusion and finally, and just like I do a lot of times, and one more scripture, you know, just one more thing, you know, and you're going, okay, man, what a close, you know. Well, this beats my closings. His P.S. at the end, this postscript that it's just an incredible, amazing goodbye. It starts really in chapter 15 of Romans in verse 33. Check this out. Now the God of peace be with you all. Because remember, he's from the south. Amen. So he gives his sign off. And you'd think, wow, he's done. Okay? It's over. No, it's not over. Chapter 16, he goes on. And he's given his personal goodbyes to all of his friends. He doesn't want to miss anybody. In verse 16 of Romans 16, it says, "Now salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." So that would be a good sign off. And, you know, just adios, you know, and give one another a holy kiss. And everyone salutes you. And so that would be a good end. No, it's not over yet. Verse 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan underneath your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." All right, it's going to end. No, it's not over. You see, I think he's really having a hard time here signing off, saying goodbye. There is such a camaraderie. There's such a friendship. There's such a connection that and he has so much more to say that he just can't cut it off like that. And it seems like he's struggling, but I believe that he's having, you know, more things that the Lord's laying on his heart. He just keeps writing. He keeps, you know, keeps going. Last Sunday, second service, right after this service, last Sunday, I don't know what happened, but everybody was out in the foyer. And I think it was this, you know, the weather was a little cloudy and everybody didn't want to go outside. But we were all hanging out in the foyer and there was hundreds of us, okay? And you couldn't even hear yourself speak. Everybody was so excited and talking and had so much to talk about. It was just an exciting thing to behold. The family of God, it was like a reunion going on. And everybody was so excited. And I was just sitting there listening. And I thought, you know what? This is God's family. We are brothers and sisters. And more than that, you know, we're like-minded. In other words, we have all things in common as Christians. We've been brought into this family that is very close-knit, that is very, very strongly tied together, even stronger than blood family. Now, that's pretty powerful, when you think about it. Spirit family, brought together by the Spirit of God. Not only do we have all things in common, I was thinking a few of the things, we have our commitment to the Lord in common, don't we? We've committed our lives to Jesus Christ, to serve Him. He gave His life for us, we've committed our lives to Him. So we have that in common, our commitment. And then we have a burden for souls. Because once you receive Christ, you want to give Him away. You want to give it to somebody else, especially your loved ones. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your uncle, your aunt, your cousin. You just want to share what you have experienced. And so we have that in common, a burden for souls. It's about souls being lost, souls coming to know the Lord. And then we, of course, have vision for ministry. And through the book of Romans, our vision for ministry has grown. And so there's sort of like an excitement that was going on that I was seeing that I just thank God for. Vision for what God wants to do with every single one of us personally, individually, and collectively as the family. We're growing. Not only numerically are we growing, but spiritually there's a depth going on here. And I sense it every day that we continue to go on as a church. There's a depth going on here that God's army is getting it. They know how to clean their weapons quick and fast and get them reloaded and are back out in the front line. And everybody's taking it seriously. So Paul's closing is typical because once you join the family of God, there is a closeness. There is a bond that is there and a love that's experiencing, you know, in a very special way. It's hard to explain it, but you know about it, especially when you're in an airport waiting, and then you see somebody reading the Bible or something. You see somebody reading something, and you go, "Are you Christian?" "Yeah." "Hey, you know, I got a 2-hour layover. How long's yours?" "Oh, 3 hours." "Hey, let's fellowship," and boom, you're just talking away. You know, everything in common. It's so interesting. But that's just how the Lord does things when He brings us together as a family. So the tie that binds, of course, that's Jesus. As we continue to be immersed by His Spirit into that forever family. And it is a forever family. And we're learning how to get along with one another right now. Right, guys? We're learning how to get along. Why? Because we got to spend eternity together. So you better learn now, you know. And we are. We're learning, and it's happening. But finally, after 2 years, and I hear that it's a little over 2 years, we've been studying the book of Romans on Sunday mornings. And it just seems like yesterday, right? Some of you going, "I don't know what you're talking about, man. It's been 2 years for me." No. But I've been enjoying this because I know that the book of Romans is a very deep, very, very strong, and it's just what we needed. You know, as he was talking to those in Rome, he's talking to us in LA, and it's just exactly what each of us needed personally and collectively. So we get his final encouragement now this morning. It's a powerful close to this life-changing epistle, and that's truly what Romans is. It'll change your life. It's changed so many lives over thousands of years. As people have gotten serious with God and found out what the book of Romans is all about. We left off in verse 21, where he now is signing off to a few of his close friends. He didn't want to forget anybody. He said, "Timothy, my work fellow." And there's a lot within that one word, work fellow. That closeness, that unity, that work they had together. They're in the front lines of God's army, you know, just seeing things take place that were incredible. And then he also says Lucius and Jason, and so Sipater. So Sipater was my kinsman, salute you. So this is to the faithful friends and servants that were with Paul in the thick of the battle, in the ministry. His final roll call of heroes that he wanted to mention. So to Timothy, Paul's son in the faith, and I love that because Paul was the one that led Timothy to the Lord and watched him grow up in the Lord. And so, of course, Timothy would look to him as his father in the faith and Paul as his son in the faith, and they had that special relationship. And I was reading in Philippians chapter 2, if you want to write that down. Philippians 2, where Paul was discussing this relationship about young Timothy. He said in verse 19 of Philippians 2, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Because he knew that when Timothy went to them and wrote him back and got the news back to him, that he would get the real skinny on what was going on, right? Because he knew Timothy was not going to, evangelistically speaking, he wasn't going to stretch the truth. He was going to tell him the reality of what was going on there. And then he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." This guy is like-minded as I. He has my heart. "For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." So I can't wait to send him, because he's going to represent me well. He is going to, you know, share with you the things that I would want to share with you. So he has my same heart. He is my successor. He's my Joshua, if you will. And he'll be faithful to the end. Special bond. Then Lucas and Jason, who helped him. And Sosipater, his kin. So Jason, they figure he's got that Gentile name. And so he got in the mix, Jews, Gentiles. Sosipater was a relative of Paul's. So it's great to be serving together with brothers and sisters in Christ, family. But it's also great to have part of your blood family serving with you in the ministry who know the Lord as you know the Lord. Because you can imagine the tie then that there is. At Christmas, at Easter, everybody's, fellowshipping and everything. Well, they're not fellowshipping. They're just kind of talking to one another about things going on. But you see your fellow Christian there, and you guys tie up. "Hey, how's it going?" You start praying for the family, and you're there. And it's great to have brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, mom and dads, serving with you in ministry. That's why we go to them first, because we love them so much. When you receive something so incredible as we have received, you want to give it to them. My first people that I came to when I came to the Lord, I went to my parents. I said, "Mom, Dad, you need Jesus." They said, "Are you on something?" "Yeah, I'm on Jesus, Mom." "What?" they didn't get it at first. Then they watched my life, and they came to the Lord. Now they're in heaven. They're with the Lord. It's such a hope. Keep on with your parents and your brother and your sister. You don't give up. God's got a message for us this morning to encourage you. Now, verse 22, "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle." So here's the guy that wrote it, that he says, "I salute you in the Lord." He's the one that was Paul's secretary. He was taking it all down, helping him as he shared to write it down, to make sure it was sent in letter form. So we see Tertius, whose name is interesting because it means number three. That's it, number three. A faithful transcriber. Faithful secretary. Recently we've been trying to get transcribers together, writers together, because Sound Doctrine wants to take my tapes and my CDs and put together the various books into books in book form. So you need transcribers, you need secretaries, you need people in the body of Christ that can be faithful in the harvest, and we're definitely in the harvest, to work together to see this happen. And so the call went out. You guys did so great. You responded. And now they're starting to put it into book form. It's taking place. And it's so exciting to be able to see that which has been verbal now. And you can get it on CD, but now you can get it in book form. It can be sent out, given to people. And so the ministry continues. But I want you to see that it's a body ministry. Secretaries are so important. Transcribers are so vital. Everybody in the body can be used for God's glory. Verse 23, "Gaius, mine host," he says, "and of the whole church salutes you. Erastus, the chambermaid of the city, salutes you, and Quartus, a brother." So he adds these guys. Now, Gaius, of course, he's a very gracious man. taking care of Paul while he was there. He was a very generous brother in opening his home up, who had the gift of hospitality. And that is a gift, being able to open your home up. And actually, he opened his home up in such a way, as many believe, there was a home church in his home. In other words, they met there weekly and probably sometimes daily and for prayer and for whatever. But there is something about that small group that gathers that's very special. It's called in the scriptures koinonia. Koinonia means a close, intimate gathering. And we have those koinonia groups here at Calvary. You can get a list of them right there by the info room. There's a whole flyer on all the home studies we have. Check it out sometime. You might get hooked because everybody knows your name. You get to know them. You're studying the Bible together. You're praying for one another. You're sharing your trials and tribulations with this small group. And it's a great support system there, right there. So we're praying for more to be added daily, you know, in these home. Opening your home up. You know, Jesus, when he came to Capernaum, he could just go into Peter's home and Peter's mom took care. And he knew he had a home away from home. Like, of course, he never really had a home. That's where he would call home, in Capernaum. And then in Bethany, we know he had close friends in Bethany. He had Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who he could go there at any time and knowing he'd get a hot meal and be taken care of big time. And so he always had those open homes. That hospitality was always available. Now, it's interesting that Paul baptized Gaius. So he says, I want to say hi to Gaius, my host. But turn with me now to 1 Corinthians, which is one page. You only have to turn one page, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. We get a little insight now of Gaius and what's going on here. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 1:14, I thank God, Paul says, that I baptized none of you. And you just go, what? Well, except Crispus and Gaius. He's the only two guys, it's right in the scriptures here, he's the only two guys he baptized in water. Just two guys? How many did you guys baptize? You know, well, yeah, I baptized two. Okay. You know, that's it, Paul? Yeah. I'm glad I didn't baptize anybody else. And it's kind of weird when you read it that way and you think, wow, well, why is this? And I think this is the reason why. Paul did not believe that water baptism was for salvation. Now, if he believed that water baptism was for salvation, like some denominations believe, you'd have a baptismal right behind you. So when they walked forward, they continued that walk into the water and you're not leaving without it, right? And there's a lot of places that do that because they believe that this baptism, this water baptism, is part of being saved, which really, when you look at the Bible, what it says, it is not by works we are saved. It's by faith in the Son of God. Baptism is a work. It's an outward show of an inward work that God has done. It's an outward thing that we do. We don't get saved because of that. In fact, over in Mark chapter 16:16, if you want to write it down, Mark 16:16, Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Maybe this is where they get that, where Jesus said this. But then he goes on, but he that believes not shall be damned. He doesn't add baptism there. But the word there, saved, is an interesting word. This is where the Greek, sometimes to know the Greek, it helps. And sometimes when you get something like this, some people are saying it's doctrine and that you can only be saved if you're water baptized. You go back into the Greek and find out about what this word is, and it's a different word than the word salvation, saved, truly saved. See, we believe in the Lord, we are saved, period. This word is sozo in the Greek. It means a fuller amount of your salvation. In other words, a fullness of your salvation, an added blessing upon your walk with the Lord. And as you get water baptized, what does that do for your faith? It is an added blessing, isn't it? And you just get a tremendous desire to just go and continue on serving him. It's a one-time event for the Christian. And we had a big one down at the beach just this last summer. It was so awesome. A couple hundred people getting baptized and 1,000 people watching. And man, what an experience. And those people went out of there just pumped for the Lord. Why? Because they're following the Lord. And anytime you follow the Lord and what he says, and what does he say about baptism? He says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we do that. Now, if baptism was for salvation, what about the thief on the cross? When the thief on the cross, and Jesus, he was dying and the thief was there. The thief said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, you'll be with me. And he goes, no, wait a minute. You got to baptize me. You know, he didn't say that because that's ridiculous. No, it has nothing to do with our salvation. It's just an added blessing. It's part of our commitment towards the Lord. It's part of our being a witness, an outward show of an inward work that God has already done in our hearts. We go down, we go into the water, and others watch. And they go, look at how committed they are. And that we go under with that symbolic, you know, burial. And then come up in that newness of life. It's a tremendous experience. So, yeah, I just thought I'd bring that up. Hey, Paul only baptized two. If he believed that baptism saves, he'd baptize a lot more, wouldn't you think? Sure.
You're listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson and our final study in Romans. It's called Paul's Final Encouragement. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org to purchase the CD. Call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We also have a podcast available, and that's available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. You know, it's always a good idea to consider and, if need be, rekindle our devotional life, especially here at the beginning of a new year. And we've got a great Devo to share with you today. You're sure to enjoy. It's been written by Calvary pastors like Skip Heitzig, Joe Foch, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, and more. It's a daily devotional with Calvary Chapel pastors. I know you'll be blessed and encouraged as you start your day hearing from the Lord. Order it now by calling 800-353-7553 or online at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we'd appreciate your support as we kick off another year of delivering sound doctrine through the radio and the internet. As we continue to present God's good news on this station of yours, we look to the Lord to provide. And maybe that provision will come through you. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request, and that is to simply email us. We want to know how the Lord is using sound doctrine in your life. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, that's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of his message.
Erastus was the town treasurer. It's weird. I was thinking, God's got his people everywhere. In the Treasury, in the FBI, you name it, God's got his people there. In the Senate, in the Congress, God's people are everywhere. God's got his plants, you know, where he puts them. And they're there to be a witness, every part of society. If you want to, write down 1 Corinthians 6. Well, you can turn there with me. Just turn there with me. It's not far. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Now, check this. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, this is pretty clear, isn't it? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, the word fornication means sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know? Male prostitution, homosexuality, you name it. It's all involved here. What does he say? Nor thieves, verse 10, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, or extortioners. And then he says it again, shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you're in these sins, if you're doing these, practicing these sins, you can just quote what I just read you. You're not going to heaven. You will not go to heaven. It's very clear there. But the verse 11 is what I really want to look at. Look at this. And such were some of you. Look at our testimony, guys. Remember, you know what you were before the Lord, you know, picked you up out of that gutter. But you have been washed. But you have been sanctified, set aside. But you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What a heavy, heavy testimony we each have to share with those around us.
We'll finish up Romans next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey.